President Obama says Huerta is his man to lead the FAA. It's happened again. Airline passengers are forced to subdue an unruly passenger. And Americans' pilots say the move to throw out their contract is premature. This is Aero News. It's Thursday, March 29, 2012. I'm Glenn Moyer. President Barack Obama announced Tuesday that he has nominated acting FAA Director Michael Huerta to assume that role officially. Huerta was thrust into the lead role at the FAA in December when then-FAA Director Randy Babbitt was arrested on charges of drunk driving. Huerta had been serving as the department's deputy director before being promoted to the top post by Transportation Secretary Ray LaHood. Huerta's nomination must still be confirmed by the Senate. A woman who confessed to being scared of flying allegedly then turned violent and attacked the cabin crew of a U.S. Airways flight from Charlotte to Fort Myers, Florida, according to an arrest report released Wednesday. The woman was described as intoxicated, and passengers on board the flight said that she became violent after a flight attendant refused to serve her any further alcohol. The woman allegedly got out of her seat and attacked the cabin crew, spitting in their faces, knocking one to the floor, and kicking them before being subdued by a few fellow passengers. The report comes on the heels of Tuesday's episode on a JetBlue flight that diverted to Amarillo, Texas, while en route from New York to Las Vegas, after the pilot acted erratically and also had to be subdued by several passengers. JetBlue has identified him as 12-year veteran Clayton Osborne, whose friends, neighbors, and even co-workers described as the consummate professional. JetBlue says he has been suspended and removed from all active duties and responsibilities. Both incidents remain under investigation. The Allied Pilots Association, APA, the collective bargaining agent for the 10,000 pilots of American Airlines, says the company's move to have a judge throw out its contract is premature. In a statement released Wednesday, the union said, quote, "The 10,000 pilots of American Airlines remain absolutely committed to our airline's successful restructuring and to reaching a consensual agreement with management," end quote. However, the statement went on to say, quote, "Just saying no to everything the APA leadership has proposed at the negotiating table does not constitute good faith bargaining. We will be making our case to the bankruptcy court that management's motion is premature," end quote. Three U.S. instructors paired with three Afghan students as they took to the morning skies this past Saturday in three separate Cessna 182 aircraft, marking the first undergraduate pilot training sorties in over 30 years in Afghanistan. Prior to starting UPT, the students were enrolled in language training, in which they were required to achieve an English language competency score of 80 or above. The students will spend the next 6 months flying in the Cessna 182 before transitioning to the Cessna 208 Grand Caravan. Afghan Air Force personnel will spend a total of about 10 months in upgrade training to graduate from the fixed-wing UPT program. Lieutenant Colonel James Banz, 444th Air Expeditionary Advisory Squadron commander, said, quote, "The main goal here is to transition all of the training to the Afghans, so these first students are key to the success of a fully independent Afghan Air Force," end quote. A senior pilot and operations technical specialist with Gulfstream Aerospace appeared Wednesday before the House Aviation Subcommittee to express the business aviation community's firm opposition to the European Union's proposed Emissions Trading Scheme, or ETS. Leo McStravick, senior flight operations technical specialist with Gulfstream, told the committee the EU ETS is discriminatory against businesses that use general aviation because they would not be eligible for carbon offsets, that the program raises serious concerns for both personal privacy and business confidentiality, and that the scheme would do little to address global greenhouse gas emissions because the EU has no authority to require member states to reinvest revenues from the ETS into aviation research and development or other emissions abatement initiatives. When Aero News continues, Oregon's seaplane pilots need your help. The Sky Aero relaunches under new ownership, and Sikorsky is going green.
Diamond Aircraft's new DA-40 Diamond Star XL includes all popular Diamond options, combined with the sensational new Garmin GFC700 Autopilot, a higher performance power plant, and increased gross weight. This makes the Diamond Star XL the perfect choice for affordable personal flying. The Diamond Star XL features equipment and enhancements that increase performance, capability, safety, convenience, and comfort. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3220.
We're continuing now with Aero News for Thursday, March 29th, 2012. I'm Glenn Moyer. The Oregon State Marine Board is set to ban float planes from Oregon's Waldo Lake, despite a 2009 federal court ruling that said such a ban would be capricious and an abuse of discretion. Writing in his blog, Trends Aloft, 2008 National CFI of the Year Max Trescott says the only remaining step now is for pilots to attempt to change the board's opinion in a last-ditch letter-writing campaign. To aid in constructing your letter, the Columbia River Seaplane Pilots Association has created a Waldo Lake page that lists a variety of talking points around which to build your letter. To see how you can help, log on to www.c-spa.org. That's www.c-spa.org. Having acquired the Sky Aero, its related assets, and all existing production certifications, officials with Magna Gia Aeronautica announced plans to relaunch the Sky Aero aircraft today at the Lakeland Fly-In. The Italian-made, all-composite, high-wing tandem pusher aircraft was first introduced in 1993 in response to the needs for a low-cost, high-visibility aerial work platform for law enforcement, environmental research, and electronic news gathering. With versions ranging from LSA to FAR-23, several hundred Sky Aeros are currently operated worldwide. The new Sky Aero, with larger wing tanks, aerodynamic refinements, and state-of-the-art avionics, will debut this summer at AirVenture in Oshkosh, Wisconsin. The NTSB has released its preliminary report in the balloon skydiving accident that claimed the life of 63-year-old balloonist Ed Restaino earlier this month. The report paints a tale of a harrowing ride through a thunderstorm and provides vivid detail of the weather surrounding the accident. According to the report, the pilot had just launched his second flight of the afternoon when his chase crew received a severe storm warning and immediately advised Restaino that they could see the storm getting big very quickly on their smartphone radar. The skydivers exited, and the balloon pilot reported that he would attempt to fly over the storm, but the balloon eventually streamered, and Restaino's body was found 3 days later still in the aircraft. According to an NTSB meteorologist, weather radar echo intensities of level 5 and 6 were recorded in the area of the accident at the time of the accident. Levels 5 and 6 are described as intense and extreme, respectively. Radar algorithms revealed that the top of the thunderstorm was between 45,000 and 50,000 feet. Hail algorithms estimated that hail reaching the surface was between 3/4 and 1 inches in diameter. According to the sheriff who led the search for the balloon basket still contained hailstones when it was found 3 days after the accident. Sikorsky Innovations has joined forces with the Aviation Green Alliance by becoming its first rotorcraft member and one of its founding sponsors. The move was announced jointly Wednesday by the Lindbergh Foundation and the Helicopter Company. The Lindbergh Foundation launched the Aviation Green Alliance to support and encourage those who are committed to proactively addressing aviation and environmental challenges. A jury in Portland, Oregon, ruled Tuesday that a GE engine was to blame for an accident in which 9 firefighters were fatally injured. The crew was being airlifted away from the Iron 44 wildfire in Shasta Trinity National Forest near Weaverville, California, in a Sikorsky S-61N helicopter when it went down. Attorneys for GE said that the helicopter, which was carrying 13 people when it crashed, was overloaded by some 1,400 pounds. Attorneys for the plaintiffs said, however, that GE knew of a design flaw in the fuel system of the helicopter's engine. The jury found that GE was 57% at fault for the accident. The NTSB probable cause report, which is not admissible as evidence in court, found that the fact that the helicopter was overloaded was the reason for the accident. A GE spokesman said the company would appeal. Well, you might want to hold on to your hat and anything else valuable next time you're traveling through JFK Airport. According to an exclusive CBS2 TV report, cash, jewelry, electronics, and other valuables are being stolen at an alarming rate, as many as 200 thefts per day, every day. That's 24/7, 365. One official says it's as if the belly of the airplanes had become flea markets, and says baggage handlers, jetway workers, and even security personnel have their fingers in the lucrative pie. The New York Port Authority says all workers are fingerprinted and go through an FBI background check, but that's pre-employment. Officials say more cameras are needed around the airport, including in the bellies of the aircraft. No doubt some smart TV producer is already working on the next new reality show, Taxiway Treasures. That's all for this edition of Aero News. Remember, you don't have to steal these Aerocast. Just subscribe to them. I'm Glenn Moyer. Thanks for listening, and you're now cleared for departure.